Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mom of six.
Hey, homeschoolers. We've discussed balance for homeschool moms who work, but we haven't dug deep into the topic of balance. Even if you don't work in addition to homeschooling, balance is a challenge. I know it is for me. We'll talk about it in a minute, but first, I'd like to invite you to pick up a copy of my free funny winter writing prompts if you haven't. There is a prompt for Valentine's Day that I love. These are printable sheets for young writers, or you can have older writers type their responses. The teaching tip of the week is the Echo Smart Pen from LiveScribe. I purchased a 2 gigabyte version for around $100 so I could write longhand in a special moleskin journal and convert it to text. I just don't like spending all my time at the computer. Using it, I discovered what an amazing tool it is for homeschool high school students. If your high schooler attends a co-op class or is dual enrolled in a college course, the pen allows them to record lectures while taking notes. When students are studying their notes for an exam, they can tap the pen to the notes and hear the lecture at the time they wrote a particular note. Of course, they can also save their notes digitally and can convert their handwriting to text if they choose with the purchase of the MyScript app. The reviews of the pen suggest that it is perfect for students with dyslexia or auditory learners. Of course, it would be a great tool to send along with your college students as well. This week's Organized Homeschool Challenge of the Week is the Marriage of Your Dreams Challenge. The homeschool lifestyle can leave marriage at the bottom of the priority list. That's a dangerous pattern because nothing will threaten a happy, organized homeschool like a troubled marriage. This week, we will take some simple steps that go beyond relationship maintenance to laying the foundation for the marriage you've always dreamed of. Step number one, evaluate your marriage. Most couples avoid marriage counseling until the problems are serious. You can take the first step that a professional would take. Assess where your marriage is today. For many couples, the prospect of taking an honest look at the health of their relationship is a frightening one. But failing to take stock is the biggest threat. You and your spouse should answer 7 questions I've included in the show notes that include 2 questions about your relationship with a Christ that a commenter added to a blog post. If you're anxious about this, agree with your spouse that if this honest discussion creates conflict you can't resolve, that you'll see your pastor or a counselor for help with communication and conflict resolution skills. You can also evaluate your marriage by listening to and discussing my interview with Dr. Don McCullough, the author of Perfect Circle, A Husband's Guide to the 6 Tasks of a Contemporary Christian Marriage on the Homeschool Sanity Show. Step number 2, plan regular time together. When we think of the marriage of our dreams, many of us picture romantic dates and vacations. The truth is that dream marriages are grounded in the everyday experience of communication, recreation, and intimacy. If we don't have enough ordinary time together, expensive dates and vacations won't be enough to get us by. Hopefully, you and your spouse have agreed on a regular time to pray together. If not, do that today. Then decide together when is the best time for the two of you to talk, have fun, and make love on a regular basis. Depending on the season of life you are in, you may have to schedule time. While scheduled time isn't traditionally romantic, it is very effective in strengthening a marriage. The best time to devote to your relationship will likely change as your family changes. Step number 3, plan special time together. date nights away from home, couples retreats, and vacations are the icing on the cake. Dates don't have to be expensive. Tip Junkie has dozens of cheap and creative date ideas for parents. Some of them are perfect for Valentine's Day, which is coming up. If you need childcare, consider exchanging care with friends who would also like to have a date night. Consider attending a marriage retreat. I recommend a family life marriage conference. Also, see if your church offers a marriage retreat or Bible study. We organized a love and respect study with other couples and loved it. Even getting away for a night or having the kids out of the house for a night can be renewing for your relationship. Pray about it and let your friends and family know you'd like to have a vacation with your spouse. God may provide for this in unexpected ways. Step number 4, speak your spouse's love language. Have you asked your spouse what would make for an ideal Valentine's Day or other occasion? You may be surprised by the answer. Not everyone is entranced by roses and expensive dinners out. If your spouse's love language is words of affirmation, a handwritten love letter may be a treasure. If your spouse's love language is acts of service, a favorite meal prepared at home may be just the thing. If your spouse prefers physical touch, you'll know what to do. If your spouse's love language is quality time, step away from the digital devices and act like you have all the time in the world to do what your spouse wants. If your spouse enjoys gifts, ask the kind of gifts they prefer, something they request, gift cards, or surprises. Consider reading and discussing the 5 love languages with your spouse. If your spouse doesn't ask what would make for an ideal Valentine's Day for you, share anyway. If you love surprises, clarify the kinds of surprises you'd love. This week's Organized Homeschool Challenge of the Week is the Marriage of Your Dreams Challenge. The homeschool lifestyle can leave marriage at the bottom of the priority list. That's a dangerous pattern because nothing will threaten a happy, organized homeschool like a troubled marriage. This week, we will take some simple steps that go beyond relationship maintenance to laying the foundation for the marriage you've always dreamed of. Step number 1, evaluate your marriage. Most couples avoid marriage counseling until the problems are serious. You can take the first step that a professional would take. Assess where your marriage is today. For many couples, the prospect of taking an honest look at the health of their relationship is a frightening one. But failing to take stock is the biggest threat. You and your spouse should answer 7 questions I've included in the show notes that include 2 questions about your relationship with a Christ that a commenter added to a blog post. If you're anxious about this, agree with your spouse that if this honest discussion creates conflict you can't resolve, that you'll see your pastor or a counselor for help with communication and conflict resolution skills. You can also evaluate your marriage by listening to and discussing my interview with Dr. Don McCullough, the author of Perfect Circle, A Husband's Guide to the 6 Tasks of a Contemporary Christian Marriage, on the Homeschool Sanity Show. Step number 2, plan regular time together. When we think of the marriage of our dreams, many of us picture romantic dates and vacations. The truth is that dream marriages are grounded in the everyday experience of communication, recreation, and intimacy. If we don't have enough ordinary time together, expensive dates and vacations won't be enough to get us by. Hopefully, you and your spouse have agreed on a regular time to pray together. If not, do that today. Then decide together when is the best time for the two of you to talk, have fun, and make love on a regular basis. Depending on the season of life you are in, you may have to schedule time. While scheduled time isn't traditionally romantic, it is very effective in strengthening a marriage. The best time to devote to your relationship will likely change as your family changes. Step number 3, plan special time together. date nights away from home, couples retreats, and vacations are the icing on the cake. Dates don't have to be expensive. Tip Junkie has dozens of cheap and creative date ideas for parents. Some of them are perfect for Valentine's Day, which is coming up. If you need childcare, consider exchanging care with friends who would also like to have a date night. Consider attending a marriage retreat. I recommend a family life marriage conference. Also, see if your church offers a marriage retreat or Bible study. We organized a love and respect study with other couples and loved it. Even getting away for a night or having the kids out of the house for a night can be renewing for your relationship. Pray about it and let your friends and family know you'd like to have a vacation with your spouse. God may provide for this in unexpected ways. Step number 4, speak your spouse's love language. Have you asked your spouse what would make for an ideal Valentine's Day or other occasion? You may be surprised by the answer. Not everyone is entranced by roses and expensive dinners out. If your spouse's love language is words of affirmation, a handwritten love letter may be a treasure. If your spouse's love language is acts of service, a favorite meal prepared at home may be just the thing. If your spouse prefers physical touch, you'll know what to do. If your spouse's love language is quality time, step away from the digital devices and act like you have all the time in the world to do what your spouse wants. If your spouse enjoys gifts, ask the kind of gifts they prefer, something they request, gift cards, or surprises. Consider reading and discussing the 5 love languages with your spouse. If your spouse doesn't ask what would make for an ideal Valentine's Day for you, share anyway. If you love surprises, clarify the kinds of surprises you'd love. Now for today's topic, how to find balance as a homeschool mom. For many years, I have been confused about what balance is. I once thought it meant giving equal time to all areas. I know people who try to achieve this kind of balance when purchasing Christmas gifts for their kids. They try to get as close to the same dollar amount for all their kids as possible. That would drive me nuts, and so would trying to give equal time to every area of my life. A second notion I've had about balance is that it means being awesome in every area. And there were a lot of areas. I had homeschooling, parenting, homemaking, my marriage, my faith, church commitments, friendships, writing, speaking, hobbies, and personal care. If I wasn't excelling in homemaking while I homeschooled, I felt I was out of balance. So I would focus on organizing and making better meals. And you know what happened. I started struggling in another area. Maybe it wasn't homeschooling, but my personal needs might suffer. If being awesome in every area was the definition of balance, I knew I would never achieve it. So what have I decided balance is? For me, balance involves keeping 2 parts of our lives that are like balls in the air. A ball that can be dropped repeatedly without significant long-term damage, and a ball that can't. I did a Periscope broadcast that I will share in the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/balance that will give you a good visual of this. Which areas are included in the ball that can be dropped repeatedly? That will vary for each of us, but as a general rule, anything that isn't the most important people in your life, including you, will be a ball you can drop if need be. Writing and speaking and hobbies can be dropped for me. That doesn't mean they aren't important, but I can drop them repeatedly and return to them without my loved one's world or even my own falling apart. The ball that will shatter if dropped repeatedly without special temporary permission is made up of my husband's needs, my children's needs, which includes an education, my extended family's needs, my close friends' needs, and my personal needs for rest and renewal. In order to determine what aspects of your life are a part of that precious ball, imagine that you have a short time left to live. The things you most want to do with your time then are the things that you want to prioritize. But I want to clarify that the fragile ball isn't just made up of time sitting and talking with the people you love, paying bills, giving haircuts, and going shopping with a friend can all be a part of the fragile ball because of who you're serving. I recently took a look at all my tasks and asked myself who was being served by that particular to-do. It helped me to see that when I am writing books to sell, I am also serving my husband. He is supportive of me, spending a portion of my time in that way. And when I play tennis, I am not just meeting my own need for recreation, but I am building relationships with women who don't all know the Lord. We are balanced when we are not repeatedly dropping the fragile ball. We'll know that's what we're doing when our loved ones complain about how we're spending our time, or when we are falling apart physically and emotionally. In that case, it's time to let the other ball drop and keep the fragile ball in the air. This is all very philosophical, I know, but I do have some practical tips for you in achieving balance. Number one, stay in prayer and the Word. God can easily convict you when you've gone astray, when you speak with Him regularly. God is so good that you can even be in Leviticus and He'll find a way to give you the message. If it's been ages since you've had dedicated time with God, may I suggest that you're dropping the wrong ball? Please refer to the Personal Devotions Challenge for more on how to make time with the Lord a habit. Second, let your husband or another family member hold you accountable. I've always let my husband decide on speaking engagements and other big commitments because it's his and the kids' time I am giving away. He has also been so helpful to me in the little things. Why, he's asked me, are you making a meal for a new mom when you just had a baby a few weeks ago? If not for him, I would be out of balance a lot more frequently. Tip number three, use a calendar. When we don't use a basic schedule for our time, we can hide the imbalance that exists in our lives. Record how you use your time for a week honestly and try to determine which ball was in the air most of the time. Determine the changes you need to make and then block off time in your schedule for the fragile and vitally important areas of your life, like family, homeschooling, and self-care. Don't forget sleep. Include plenty of margin so you can be relaxed and available to do what God calls you to do spontaneously. I did a Periscope broadcast recently in which I shared that if we are doing the most important things, we won't get everything done. Remember that there will always be more to do. But if we are keeping the fragile ball in the air most of the time, we are leading balanced lives. My Periscope viewers also had these suggestions. Maritza at homeschoolepiphany.com said, my day is better if I begin with my devotional, my time with God. She also reminded us to be flexible. Kim of kimhewitt.com said that talking with her husband grounds her, as does talking with other homeschool moms. She said, it can feel like I'm never good enough, but talking with others lets me know I'm not alone. Liz at swrtraining.com said, we are our own worst critic. She remarked that our perfectionism can influence our kids as well. Erin agreed and said that Periscope has helped her see what real homeschool moms are like. If you'd like to see real homeschool moms in action, join us at homeschoolscopes.tv. Thanks so much to my viewers for their advice. Today's action steps are: decide which areas of your life are like the ball that can be dropped repeatedly without being damaged, and which are more delicate. Pray for wisdom. Ask God to show you how you're dropping the wrong ball. Also, ask Him for grace and to show you where you are doing well. Ask a family member to hold you accountable. Consider having regular discussions of how you're using your time. Finally, use a calendar to make it more likely that the most important parts of your life are being prioritized. Read a post like the one I will link to in the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/balance on how your calendar is your most important organizing tool. Want to chat about balance more? Join the conversation at Homeschool Sanity on Facebook. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.